Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The show is brought to you by the law firm Kondori and Murad. Shout out to their crew. Went with one of the guys from our K&M travel group to the Caps game last night. Had a fun time. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Go to kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Kansas City, later in the month. In fact, me and Ibrahim last night were talking about the road ahead going to KC and some of our possible stops to get some barbecue.
Oh, yes.
Hello. We started laying out a little game plan for the Kansas City trip. You probably should have been involved, as I think you plan on consuming a barbecue plate or two.
That is the plan. That is 100% the plan. The Kansas City barbecue, I think, gets slept on a little bit. It gets forgotten about.
It's really good.
Because you still get a little bit more tomato-based in there, but I'm telling you, it can hold its own.
Caller number 10 is promised at 800-636-1067. You're winning tickets to My Chemical Romance right now on Grant and Danny. Good luck to those of you calling.
At 800-636-1067, the Black Parade 2026 Tour. Tuesday, August 18th at Nationals Park. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation.
Let's go get a Beltway Blitz started on the ice. Caps 0-1 after an opening night loss at the hands of Boston was not pretty offensively. A lone Tom Wilson goal in a 3-1 setback. Empty netter sinks them in the closing moments. Sammy Silber joins us to discuss the Capitals. What went wrong last night, Sammy?
Yeah, I mean, it's just opening night. You know, I think that there's a lot going on, you know, kind of talking to the players, you know, there's, you know, things that, you know, you have the intros and the red carpet and the welcome and the this and that. And you had, you know, preseason where not, you know, the whole team's playing together. And then it's your first game, kind of getting back into the swing. And, you know, routines may be a little bit off. Puck touches may be a little bit off. So I think you just saw a team that was shaking off the rust. But at the same time, I mean, credit to Boston, right? I mean, Jeremy Swayman played a really good game. And sometimes you get goalied, you know, sometimes you get outplayed. And I think, you know, now that they have a game under their belt, they know where they need to adjust, and you go from there.
How many games before you think Carberry starts doing any kind of tweaking or adjusting or calling up from Hershey or anything like that? I mean, last year it felt like he would give guys a chance for a couple of weeks, and then when it wasn't working, you would know it because there'd be some changes.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just been one game, you know, so I think you see how things go on Long Island. You know, you kind of, you know, saw Carbs playing around with the lines last night and kind of flipping things around and, you know, seeing who goes where. I think, you know, a couple weeks is fair. You know, I don't think, you know, after two games or one game, you know, it's fair to pull the plug, you know, on anyone, especially, you know, these guys fought all training camp for their spot and earned it. And now it's just, you know, okay, how do you respond, you know, after this first game? You know, if it's the same stuff after, you know, two or three weeks, yeah, maybe you start to look at different options. But still super early, and, you know, they'll assess and go forward.
Sammy, as far as the goaltending last night, Logan Thompson was tremendous. The expectations high for the group. He and Lindgren interchangeably going to be a nice 1-2. Are they going to go every other basically until it's time to just lock in with LT, or how do you see this playing out?
No, I mean, Spencer kind of touched on this before the season that, you know, LT's, you know, earned the chance to show that he's, you know, a number one guy. And I think they're obviously going to go on a game-by-game basis and see where things are. And there's also, you know, situational circumstances, right, of back-to-backs and road trips and all that jazz. You know, but at the same time, they do have a lot of faith in Charlie Lindgren. That's why they committed to him for 3 years and, you know, also signed LT long-term. So I think you'll see Thompson, you know, obviously getting, you know, his chance to show he can be a starter, but, you know, don't count out Lindgren too. Does that mean you're going to see the same every, you know, every other game that was last year? Probably not, but you'll still see a fair amount of both.
Expectations for Ryan Leonard this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's exciting to watch. I mean, you even saw it last night, you know, as the minutes went up and the game went on, you know, he was making some great plays and looked like one of the strongest players, you know, on offense out there. So, you know, I think the more you see him come into his own, the more you'll see him do. I think he's going to have a good rookie season, and I think every game he gets under his belt, he gets, you know, better and better. So definitely exciting to watch.
Sammy, thank you. Good information. We will chat soon.
Thanks, guys.
See you Thanks, soon. Sammy.
You got it. Let's talk football. Our buddy, Slasherini, Chris Russell. Apparently, Toby had to run outside to pick up lunch. Somebody was dropping off food here today. And Russell just happened to be walking by right out front.
Is that right? It was a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
What were you doing
really
down
here? It
was
gorgeous.
I mean, you live out way out west.
Yeah,
by
I was
Loudoun
just walking,
County.
Skipping to the sound of music.
I went and took
hoping
my
to meet
daughter.
Ryan Taboni.
I took my Ryan Taboni,
Ryan Taboni
or Paul yeah. Taboni?
No, Ryan Taboni.
Ryan Taboni, the big
Taboni.
Boss. Yeah,
I got you.
The president of the Nationals.
Yeah,
I heard he was in town.
I heard he was very good on the Grant and Danny radio program. Grab that interview wherever you get your audio. Reenie.
Yeah.
We played a clip from you earlier in the show.
I heard.
You had a really hot take that I didn't buy, and I still don't, but with every passing day gets a little less crazy, which is that maybe Terry McLaurin is looking out for number one a little bit here.
Yeah.
Not my point is when I hear it, I think you're saying that he is like not trying to get back very hard. And I don't think that's your point. Your point is
that
just,
is not my point. Correct.
Your point is what if he's just saying in the past I hit the gas pedal all the way down to the floor, and now I'm gonna do my thing
Correct.
At my pace.
I'm gonna go in cruise control or whatever, you know, maybe driving 45 and a 60 or something like that, you know, and hogging up the left lane. I don't know. I mean, I thought he would be back. All the writing on the wall was that he would be back. Every reporter that I heard that was expecting him to be back, and I guess we can't officially rule him out, right? They have a day of recovery tomorrow. He worked on the side today. They have a practice on Saturday, which would normally be there Friday. They do have an extra day, so maybe they can trot him out there. If you would have told me at the beginning of the week that Noah Brown was going to play and Terry McLaurin wasn't, I would have told you you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Noah Brown gets hurt getting off the trainer's table. You know, I would have never believed that.
Dan Quinn, Monday, I'm paraphrasing, said something to the effect of, yeah, it looks good. Those guys should be back mm-hmm. this week. Fast forward 3 days, and now Rap Sheet's going, they don't think McLaurin's going to play
yeah.
this week.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So what is the disconnect? Did something change, or do you think the team and the player, I know this would be crazy, McLaurin and the team not being on the same page, is that possible?
I think, yes, I think it's possible, but it could also be that, you know, I guess between Monday and Wednesday or today even, that something didn't feel right, right? And Quinn, I don't know, maybe didn't have a full understanding of where he was out on Monday when he said that. And to be fair, when Quinn says, you know, they're all trending up in the right direction, right? They're all trending in the right direction. We're not going to miss a step. We're going to do everything. You know, he says the same things over and over and over again. It's broken record. So he's not saying anything specific about Terry McLaurin because he don't want to get specific.
What kind of season is McLaurin going to actually have?
Is Terry going to have, yeah. you said? Well, I mean, if he's now out for 3.5 games, if he misses Monday night, right? On a short week, are you getting back for Dallas? Maybe. I would say at best, I mean, if he's missed 3.5 games, 900 yards? Receiving, maybe. Oh,
if he gets to 900 yards now, that would be a hell of an accomplishment. Yeah,
right? At
I mean,
best.
He's on pace if he doesn't play this week for like 6-something.
Okay, yeah, at best. So, I mean, that's if he goes on a tear, I guess.
Well, so I guess
nowhere near the touchdowns that he had last year,
well,
right?
What I suggested to Danny earlier, and maybe this is the way to ask it, is do you think in 6 or 8 weeks we're looking back going, that was a rough start, but Terry McLaurin's Terry McLaurin again? Or does this linger and it's another thing, and then it's, we're looking at the production and we're going, it's not quite at the normal level because the offense goes through Debo and Luke's come on and this, you know, Jalen Lane's now a factor.
I think this lingers. And I do think the offense by necessity to some degree has had to go through Debo and now might even go through Bill a lot more than it has been. Right. So Terry kind of becomes an accessory, and maybe they've said, look, we scored 27 points against Atlanta with a backup quarterback. We scored 27 points against the Chargers with no Terry, no Noah Brown. We can do this with Luke McCaffrey. We can do this with Debo Samuel. We can do that. Now, the problem is if Debo, which if this is just a management thing, which I think today Debo not being at practice was because they have tomorrow off the players. So they're trying to give him essentially 2 days off. But if something happens more seriously with Debo, you need Terry right now. Do you really, really need Terry? You make the argument you certainly do, but do you really need him?
Do you expect Zach Ertz's usage to start trending up as the season progresses, or is Debo kind of the sun in the solar system here?
I think as defenses, especially if Terry doesn't become a threat and they concentrate more and focus more on trying to take away Debo and everything that he's about, yes. And we saw the kind of the same thing last year, right? Zach Ertz wasn't a huge factor in the first half of the year, but down the stretch on third down in the red zone, in the playoffs, he was awesome, right? He was Jaden's, I don't want to say his best friend, but he was his co-best friend, right? Along with Terry. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think so.
You're not at all?
Yeah. So maybe as the second half. Now, that's assuming Zach Ertz can stay on the field.
Right.
But if you told me they were going to win a game and score 27 points and he was going to have one target and no catches, I would have told you you're a fool. Especially with no Terry and no Noah. Think about that.
You mentioned Bill, offensive rookie of the year.
Yes.
He has won a second award now for offensive rookie of the week. Emeka Egbuka is that dude. I think he's going to win this thing. Yeah. He's running away with it. But if you look at the board, he's still way down the list. I think he's like ninth. Guys like Ashton Jeanty, Jackson Dart, Tyler Warren, Tet McMillan, Quinshon Judkins are all ahead of him. Does he have a shot to be in the mix at the end of the year?
Absolutely.
You think?
Because you look at all those guys you mentioned at running back, and obviously Jackson Dart, we'll see more about him. Tonight I haven't been that impressed. He's just not like he's lighting the world on fire. All of those guys, especially the running backs, he's better than. Believe it or not, me, an analytics amigo, I was breaking down the numbers in the Navy Yard while I was walking aimlessly around yelling and screaming to nobody. I was breaking down the numbers from Bill Barnwell today that said he was first in EPA per rush out of 36 running backs, first in success rate out of 36 running backs. Bill, while a limited and smaller sample size, you can make an argument right now. Not only is Bill the best rookie running back, right now today, based on success rates and all the stuff you guys love, he's the best running back in the NFL.
With the ball in his hands.
With the ball in his hands.
He has been the best ball carrier this season.
Short, limited sample size. Derrick Henry having a bad year. Sorry, fumbles. Not using Saquon Barkley. Now, maybe the Giants tonight and their porous run defense will change things. You know, maybe he'll run for 200 yards. Right now, outside of Jonathan Taylor, I don't think there's a more effective running back. And the numbers tell us that Bill is more effective, whatever those numbers mean.
Did their pass defense get solved this past week against the Chargers, or is it still a liability to you?
It's only solved that they forced 2 takeaways a game, period. That's it. And I've said all along, all off summer, they needed 24 takeaways this year, 1.5 per game. And they had, 1 in the first 4 games and 2 last Sunday. 1 at the goal line, right? Which kicked off a 99-yard offensive response and drive. If they can get 2 takeaways, they can solve a lot of their problems. But statistically, they won't solve them the way people want them, meaning shut down, lights out, like they kind of were better in this area last year. But you can get away with a lot of their problems if they force takeaways. So I'm going to say conditional on them forcing takeaways, which I know is a team thing and I know is a luck thing in some ways, but that's the only way they're going to be able to stop the bleeding on defense when it comes to teams throwing the football.
What's your gut feel on Monday night against the Bears?
349.2.
Under 350.
Yeah!
Now, for the record,
how good was that, huh?
I don't think the Bears get to 350.
I do.
But I think they are very effective offensively. Mm. I think Ben Johnson dials it up. I think he has a very impressive day.
Danny, did you know Ben Johnson is the only offensive play caller capable of dialing up a trick play?
Nobody's ever done it before.
And nobody's ever done
never
it
been
before.
One.
Nobody has suggested that. Yeah. I think Ben Johnson has a good game. 350 is just a really high total that I don't think they'll get to in today's NFL because they'll start at the 43 nine times. And you can't amass yards like you used to. I'm hoping for a big day from Tress. Hoping for 357 for the Bears and an L. But what do you see? I made the case yesterday to Danny. I think they're going to run all over Chicago.
Yeah.
This defense stinks.
Well,
they cannot stop the run.
They're getting some of their guys back. That's going to help.
11 new starters.
15 days of rest. I get it. I mean, they listen, if you're the Bears this week in Lake Forest, Illinois, you are concentrating on one thing and one thing only. Trying to take away Bill, trying to attack the line of scrimmage, and trying to make sure Jaden doesn't beat you backdoor style, right? Getting away on read options. If you're trying to shut down Bill and taking that offensive line away or taking the line of scrimmage away, because that's how you have to attack them, right? Who else is going to – I mean, you're not going to fear even without – their top cornerback, Jalen Johnson. Even without him, you're not going to fear the Commanders' vertical attack. You're going to attack the line of scrimmage, and you're going to, hey, if you can beat us, you beat us. But we're going to attack the line of scrimmage, and we're going to try and bottle you up.
Backdoor style.
Yes. What?
Rainey.
Yes.
Said those words.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Absolutely.
I get it, man.
This is a family program. Let's keep it G-rated, please.
Sure.
This isn't some podcast on the deuce down the hall.
No.
This isn't just stuff you're shouting into the ether walking around the Navy Yard.
I'm a big fan of the shouty shows.
You're a shouty show guy.
I'm a shouty show kind of guy.
I walk past your studio every day. You don't broadcast at a normal decibel. You're a shouty show kind of guy.
He does it in case you can hear it. You're within earshot.
That's right.
In the Navy Yard.
He had the audacity the other day. He hears someone else yelling down the hall, and he's like, why are they yelling? Well, you're saying that? Really?
Said the man to himself in the mirror.
You know, but see, I'm kind of a calculating genius because I know Danny's always listening until about 1:15. So I always try and get a Danny mention in. And then I also know that I'm gonna get a little bit more mileage out of my spins and my opinions if I mention the Grant and Danny radio program.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
Trading off of our name. I like
it. I used
your Seth Walder nonsense the other day.
Oh, very good.
Not that you guys did anything wrong. I said Seth Walder. He's fine to criticize on third down. He's not fine when he says he's not the savior. Bad point. Bad take.
Well, how dare he say he's not the savior?
You see, but that's how Russell does it. That's the backdoor style we're talking about.
That's
right
exactly
there. That's how he does
what
it.
You want.
Exactly.
I got a good Luke McCaffrey story for everybody. Ooh. I want to talk about his breakout next. Plus, let's talk to Corey Kroski-Merritt. Second week as your Rookie of the Week in the NFL. Does he have a shot at Rookie of the Year? What would it take for him to be in that conversation in the final month of the year? We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 this evening. Thank you for making the show part of your day. If you missed any part of Nats, President of Baseball Ops, Paul Taboni on the program for the majority of our first hour. Go grab that. He was in studio with us. He was excellent. Wherever you get your audio, that interview will be podcasted deep into the evening.
He was fantastic. Really, really was. You can just hear the emotional intelligence, the intellect, the savvy, the understanding that you know a lot, but you don't know everything, and you have to rely on some really good people to kind of help you stand atop this pyramid. Just really, really impressive, man.
I enjoyed that chat, and it was, if you're a longtime Nats fan, even as a proponent of the previous regime during their many successful years, you've always clamored for more in the way of analytics, more in the way of R&D, more in the way of technology and spending money on the right things for developing and evaluating players on the amateur side. And I think he's going to do all of those things. So it's a really good day for this outfit, and I'm excited about it. So that was cool. Go grab that audio when we're done tonight if you want to hear from Paul Toboni. So I want to tell you a quick Luke McCaffrey story, and then we can get into the McCaffrey breakout this year. So, you know, I've got a four-year-old at home.
I do.
He is a sports fan. You know, I get him. He's watching games. I'll say this. My kid mostly watches games, I think, to avoid going to bed. Like, there is a scale of how interested are you actually to, is this just a way that you know if I cuddle up on dad and say I want to watch the game tonight with him, that his heart is all a flutter and he doesn't make me go to bed and next thing I know it's 9:57 and you were supposed to be mad 3 hours ago. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I think that's what's happening. But like today, before I come to work, we're playing hockey in the basement. He takes off his Tom Wilson sweater to put on an Alex Ovechkin t-shirt. Like, that's kind of where we're at, okay? But anyway, my wife is driving in the car a few days ago. And occasionally, he will say something that is impressive for him. Like, he knows Ovi. He knows James Wood. He knows a few guys. But every now and then, he'll say something super cute to me. I'm a big sports fan. It's endearing. But, like, where it kind of blows us away, like, wait, what? Like, he'll just be walking in my house, and he'll be like, I'll be your little Jacob Chychrun today. And I'm like, you'll be what?
Excuse me?
Like, who? What was that? You know what I'm saying? Or, like, Marty Ferravari came back. And I'm like, who is this person?
Right?
So, anyway, so they're in the car, and I get a text from my wife the other day out of the blue where she says, I have to remember exactly, basically, what he said, but something to the effect of, now, my four-year-old has never lost a tooth. And it's not close to losing any teeth. He likes doing this thing where he pretends like all his teeth are loose all the time. All he ever talks about is how he's about to lose a tooth.
Oh, that's wacky.
But he hasn't lost a tooth. And if I had to guess, I would say over under 1 year, we're still about over a year away.
Okay.
But he's obsessed with the idea that he might lose a tooth.
Because eventually it's money, tooth fairy, yeah.
But when they're driving in the car, apropos of nothing from the back seat, he goes, I think I'm going to lose a tooth. I'm going to use all the money I get from the tooth fairy on a Luke McCaffrey jersey. There's a lot to unpack there.
Whoa.
All right. So my wife just texts me this. I think it's hilarious. So I look at this text. I think it's funny. I forward it to Luke McCaffrey. I just say, hey, Luke, I think this is really funny. I think you'll like this. This is my four-year-old son just said this in the car driving with my wife. Luke responds and he's like, dude, don't let him do that. That's hard-earned money. Let me send him a jersey. And I'm like, No.
That wasn't fishing.
Exactly. Like you don't understand. I just thought it was a cute, funny thing. I thought you might think it was cool or funny or whatever. I was like, please don't send him a jersey. If he wants a Luke McCaffrey jersey, I'll buy him a jersey. And Luke's like, dude, that's the coolest thing ever. Like, I'm so flattered. That's awesome that he like said that. He's like, give me your address. And I'm like, again though, please don't send him a jersey. If he asks again, like, he just says things, man.
Sure, he's just saying words. He's like the Joker chasing his car.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, you don't understand. Like, he wants ice cream, then I get him ice cream, and he cries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to Joan and say he doesn't want a Luke McCaffrey jersey.
He's a little kid. That's what they do.
Probably does. But, like, and by the way, he doesn't have kid-sized Luke McCaffrey jerseys. He's got to drive to the store and get one and then put it in a box and take it. Please stop doing this. Like, no. You're very nice. I love you. You don't need to do that, okay? But he's a nice guy. So he's like, all right, I get it. I won't. But like, shoot me your address.
But also give me your address.
And I'm like, all right, here okay. we go. So today, I get a call from the wife and my son arriving in the mail, signed gloves from Luke McCaffrey.
Come on.
That I get all these videos and pictures of my son running around the house making diving catches. And I'm pretty sure, looking at them, they're the exact gloves he wore for the 50-yard catch this past weekend The Adidas
just
black
little,
and white
size
gloves.
Down a little bit, or the big ones.
No, like no, no full... they're Luke McCaffrey's like game gloves. They're not like they don't fit my kid. He was wearing them, and they're like hanging.
They look like novelty foam hands. Yeah,
I'll show you the picture right now. Like he's running around the house. And my wife's like he's making a lot of noise, waking up the baby, diving all over the place. So this is him making diving catches in the Luke McCaffrey gloves on the living room floor. Wearing the black and white silly Adidas gloves that Luke sent.
I mean, they look like mittens. They look like what you'd have to do to handle like radioactive, you know, plutonium rods. Like they're enormous on him.
So he's wearing the gloves. They do. They look. It looks like a foam hand.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
That you would wear at, like a sporting event. Like, and he's getting my wife and her mom's in town today. My mother-in-law to like toss him the ball in Luke McCaffrey's gloves. But just what a nice guy.
Isn't that awesome?
Like, what a cool thing. And I feel terrible because that was in no way my intention. I literally thought, yeah, he's a young guy. He's new to the league. I'm sure he signs autographs and meets fans. But it's not every day I wouldn't think that a young kid is like being like, I'm going to get a Luke McCaffrey. I just thought it was funny.
It is.
And so luckily, he didn't go through all the trouble of the jersey.
He didn't like drive to Dick's Sporting Goods to drop $129.99 plus tax exactly. on a jersey for
Nunes. That's what he said. He's like, dude, that's hard-earned money when the Tooth Fairy gives you money. Yeah. He's like, don't let him do that. He's like, let it just be a Halloween present from me. He's like, I'll put it in the mail. I'll send him a jersey. I'm like, nah. But what a good dude. And I just wanted to tell that story because I do think like there's so many good guys on this team that are just so normal and easy to root for, and he's certainly one of them.
A, that's awesome. B, can you imagine being, what is it, McCaffrey is 23, 24 years old, whatever, right?
Ish.
Can you imagine, like, doing mail?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll find the appropriate package and then, like, the label for it.
So here's
and then, like,
my
go
hope.
Someplace.
I think he just turned 24. Here's my hope. I believe that by not doing a jersey, like a youth jersey, which he doesn't have, he's probably at the facility, can grab the gloves out of his locker, walk it up to whoever the Miss BJ is now, maybe. And he could either be like, hey, do you have a package? Or he could like slide over the address and be like, can you get these to this address? That's what I'm hoping.
That's happened. My hope, too.
I hope it was a 3-minute.
Like, can you imagine if he's at home?
That's what I'm saying.
And he's like, oh, let me find a box.
So, Ryan, I'm not even trying to do Joan session or bits here. But you're about Luke McCaffrey's age. Yes, you're 25? You're a year older than him?
Yeah, I'm 25.
Okay. Have you ever... Have you put something in a package with like a, what do they call those little slips?
The
with
label.
The address, like
the,
a label.
The package label.
And had to do all that at like UPS and send a package to someone.
Weirdly enough, I actually have.
Like, what was the context?
I think I was sending like a card to someone in Denver or in California, like one of my relatives of some sort.
That's just regular mail, dude. That's not a package.
Well, I it was through FedEx. It was like with a gift card and everything. I had to go to the FedEx store and I just literally put it in a package and just kind of handed it to him, but I had no idea what to do. The UPS worker did all the work for me.
Am I the only person? This is going to be the nerdiest thing anyone says today. I still find it like kind of cool and fun to do that, though. Like to write mail to someone, which I'm not going to pretend like I do this. I don't have a pen pal.
Okay.
But the idea of, like, my daughter will sometimes do some kind of cute little art project and she wants me to send it to my mom or something. She's like, send this to Indian Papa. So I will put the address with the stamp, and I'll put it, you know, she likes to run it out and put it in the mailbox. I get that same feeling of when I was in third grade at Potomac Elementary, and we used to use the, what was it called at school? But there was like this little in-school, like school post office.
Inter-school mail, yeah.
Yeah, and so like if Danny Ruye is in fourth grade and he's your buddy from soccer, you could theoretically send him a letter through the school post office, and like every day the teacher comes in and they're like, oh, Grant got a letter. Danny got a letter. Did you guys have that?
We didn't have anything like that specifically.
We did that at Potomac. And the idea of just sending something and getting something in the mail was the most amazing thing in the world. But I still kind of get a little bit of that because it's not something I ever do. So the idea of just putting something in the mail, like the bills that I get are not as fun. That I'm not that interested in.
Sure.
But it's the, you know what I'm saying? Like
the correspondence.
I'm going to go to FedEx. I'm going to put this package together. I'm going to put some stamps on it. I'm going to send it off. It's kind of a cool feeling.
I bless you. Not
for
me.
You don't have that at all?
None. I despise mail.
Don't you think the efficiency of, I'm not trying to do a one-off with like UPS or FedEx, but just in general, the process of whatever that is, post office, any of it, is incredible?
Yeah.
You just take it there.
It's remarkable.
You hand it to a person. They've done this a billion times, so they're like, They're just like stamping things.
They're over.
And
for me, it's like, make sure this gets to the man.
They just tossed it. My life is in their hands.
Yeah.
They just toss it into a pile. They're like, yeah, you're good. I'm like, but it's going to get there. And they're like, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, tomorrow. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, in Seattle, Washington. You know, I'm just like that's going to be in Belgium at noon. And it's 9:15 a.m. And they're like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, dude.
And it just happens.
It's going with the other stuff. It's going to Belgium. We got you.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, it's remarkable. But I'm not trying to rip any workers or anything like that. My point is, I don't want any mail. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to categorize it. I don't have like a filing system. People send me things that I need, and it's like, look at this bill or look at this thing you have to call some customer service thing about. And it's like, I don't want, email me. I don't want to do any of those things ever. The instant you give me the green thing, I don't care about the green part of it. I care about the don't send me any mail part of it. I want things easily deletable.
Do you get your mail out of the mailbox every day?
No.
Who does?
Nobody. The mailman or mail person comes right to the door, and they drop it right there.
Like into a mailbox?
No.
At your door?
There's a little mail slot.
And it goes onto your floor?
Yeah.
In your house?
In the house.
Okay, but then you walk in, and you scoop it up, and you go through the mail?
Yeah, 98.7% of it is giant catalogs and trash and solicitors.
But good
and nothing.
Bit, bad bit. If I write you a handwritten letter tonight and send it to you in the mail.
Waste of your time. Please don't do that. So if you want to say something, I'll see you tomorrow.
No, right, but
tell me.
Wouldn't it be a little bit funny to get like a letter from me and you read it and say like a long letter and it's just about updating you on my kids and stuff?
That first of all, quality bit.
Thank you.
But here's what it would sort of necessitate then. Now I've got to write you a letter and I've got to do mail. I don't want to do that.
Dad, Toby, anybody interested in sending or receiving old-fashioned mail? Nothing? I mean, Tobes, you have family members that are out of the country for extended periods of time. Now, obviously, with technology now, FaceTime, phone calls, you could do all that. But is there any, like, pen-palling, sending stuff back and forth, anything like that?
No. None.
Zero interest?
No.
So I'll occasionally get mail from my aunt. She'll send a card in the mail for Christmas or birthday. You know, random holidays.
Any cash in that card?
Occasionally, there's some cash.
No, man.
Occasionally.
Oh, is it inconsistent?
It's, I don't want to put her on blast, but you're a little inconsistent, girl.
A little inconsistent.
You wish there was more consistency.
Here's what I think. I think it's perfectly fine to send a card without cash. It's perfectly awesome and even better to send a card with cash.
So much better.
But the inconsistency is borderline unacceptable.
Yeah, there's a...
If I get a card from someone, I better know when it shows up. Is this an Ann who sends money or is this an Ann who doesn't send money? Sometimes there's cash, sometimes there's not.
It's consistent for Christmas. Birthday is more like, yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Last five birthdays, how many times have we gotten some money?
Two.
You're hitting 400.
Yeah.
You'll accept that, I think. I'm at an age where nobody's sending cash anymore, which is perfectly fine. I don't know about you. I mean, you're so much older than me that would be
no,
probably...
nobody's sending cash.
But do you still get birthday cards from any aunts or uncles or like any? I am.
Yeah,
down
I'll get a birthday card.
Aunt
in there.
Judy still does cards, birthdays, and Christmas and whatever. And Uncle Scott and Aunt Kit still do them. That's the only relatives I think that I routinely get cards from.
My mother-in-law is incredible at it, and so is my father-in-law, for that matter. They are really, really good at that kind of date remembering for me, for the wife, for the boys. They are awesome at it. My dad will send me a text, happy birthday. But like,
yes,
for Christmas,
totally.
I'll get a card.
1,000% chance, as an uncle, you've never once put a card in the mail with money in it. Maybe your wife has.
No.
But zero chance you have.
I mean, zero. Right? Zero times.
By the way, I'm the same way. I think about that. I haven't thought about this until right now. But like, I'm an uncle. I could do that.
I have three nieces who are just... beyond adorable. They're not like my hyenas, the boys. When they come to play with my sons, it lasts for about 2 minutes. And then they come into the room, they're like, I don't understand what they're doing. Can I just color? Can I just be by myself and not make any noise and not wreck anything?
But they don't get a card in the mail from Uncle Danny.
No, and I love them so much.
Does the wife do that for you or no?
I don't.
Like on behalf of the team? Or are you guys just not a card family?
We're not much of a card. We haven't done like a Christmas card or anything like that. So we're not really cardy.
So like my wife is not, you know, some people have like your wife's going to handle that for you and she's going to send off cards to all the nieces.
She's
going to
wife on that.
She's got a calendar. My wife's not one of those wives either. I don't think we've ever sent a card to a single niece or nephew, either side of the family. That's kind of a bad look.
That's not great.
I'm going to have to talk to her about that. No,
we get presents.
It's my own fault too.
Yeah.
Well, you sometimes give presents. Sometimes you forget to, and then you give them to Darius about 2 months later and you act like they're for him.
Okay, that cut deep.
Is that a good bit
that
or
was,
what?
That was, I mean.
That is a good bit.
I mean, wow. Okay.
That is a deep cut for Pete Wunz.
Okay, hold on.
How many years
Wait
in a row
minute.
Have you gotten a present labeled to somebody else? It was at least two.
No, it was just the one time.
The one time.
Oh, I thought
yeah.
it was two.
No, the one time it was mislabeled. The other time, it was on back order. I ordered it correctly.
That's what it was. It was the
time.
Back order, yeah.
So you're conflating two incidents. Once is a manufacturing or shipping thing. Speaking of shipping, it's always nubs. I'm sitting there like, Darius, I'm so sorry. And I think I got it to you in March after Christmas. You know, but like I'm giving gifts to people.
No. Danny is a gift giver at
yes.
Christmas, and I will say a thoughtful gift giver.
Yes, I try.
You always give me something that I use, that I appreciate, that I like. It's either something to help me drink more water, or it's a nice dress shirt. Or mm-hmm. you're very good about that. Especially my favorite gifts are the ones that you give to Darius. And by the way, now we know why.
Months late.
It said dad on it. Maybe that was to you all along.
Was it labeled for dad?
Yeah, it was his dad.
It was. Was it? It might have been a shirt that I got from. It was
no,
something that
I thought it was a GAR gift card.
Yes, it was.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it's labeled to his father.
So it was actually
by the
meant
way,
for me.
Mr. Rouye is listening right now, being like that bastard.
I got gypped. I'm supposed to get a G. I want to go to Silverado tonight.
Your dad is fired up to go to Mike's American, and here dad's eating steak at Randy's.
Yeah, the whole thing. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I know I go. Please don't worry about the label. This was always for you. Something weird went down. I don't know what it was, but this was supposed to be for you.
Are there Aussie rolls at the end of this? I don't care what happened. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
That is tough, though.
We haven't talked much about Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams. We're going to do that next hour. I want to talk about Jacory Kroski-Merritt next. 2 weeks now where he has been the rookie of the week in the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
So I stopped short of posing the question, is Jacory Kroski-Merritt a legitimate Offensive Rookie of the Year candidate? But absolutely could run his way into the conversation. Here's the problem with trying to win that award right now. Number one, you're not a quarterback. Almost every single year, that's just a quarterback award. It does not matter what you do as a running back, what you do as a receiver. If you're not a QB, you can't win it. I think back to 1,500 yards from Puka Nacua in a year in which C.J. Stroud was great. But his numbers were solid. You know, it was like...
Yeah, it was a really nice rookie year.
20 touchdowns, a handful of picks, right around 4,000 yards. Just a very solid quarterback season, good rookie year quarterback season, and he wins the Rookie of the Year award going away. Last year, Brock Bowers quite literally had a season that tight ends don't have, like, ever. Not for a rookie, just for a tight end. It was crazy. It was an all-time season. Didn't sniff the award because Jaden Daniels in Washington was that guy. So if you're not a quarterback, it's really, really hard to win. But the start that Emeka Egbuka is off to right now, this guy is special with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He is on a pace for 85 catches, and they're getting Chris Godwin back healthy. Mike Evans, who's been out this past week, will eventually come back as well, so maybe the targets, the catches go down a little bit. But he's already at 445 yards through five games. Do some quick math on that. Extrapolate that route And that rate over 17 games. You know, he is on a pace for 1,500 yards right now. And, oh, by the way, he's scoring a touchdown a game. So it's a 1,500-yard, 17-touchdown pace. He'll come back to earth a little bit. But there's your front runner at 22 years old for the Rookie of the Year Award. So, Bill, that's who you're chasing.
Yeah, you got to chase him down. You got to chase Ashton Jeanty down, a top 10 pick who's got all sorts of accolades coming in, or anticipation coming in, I would say. And you've got Jackson Dart, who's starting now in New York. Just the fact that there's a quarterback ahead of you. Tyler Warren is an unbelievable tight end for the Colts. Tet McMillan, Quinshon Judkins. There's a number of guys who are just ahead at this point, just because of whether it's position, QB, or the starts that they're off to. But you put up another few games, in prime time especially, like old JCM has done here of late, you get yourself into the conversation.
So I wonder about, like, Jeanty's a good example. He was picked so high that I agree with you, as a Heisman Trophy winning superstar at the college level at Boise State, who everybody knew and talked about and watched nationally on TV last year because he was having this all-time season. And now is a rookie doing what he's done, which he's had one huge game where he had three touchdowns. Otherwise, it's been fairly quiet. But he's getting a lot more carries, and because of that, he has more yards. I would think you're right. Like, if you're Bill, you've got to far exceed his numbers just because of his fame and just because you're going to crown the guy that went in the top 10 that won the Heisman Trophy. It's a narrative-driven award. Humans are voting on it. But, like, a Judkins, I honestly don't see it the same way. I don't think Quinshon Judkins is a guy that, like, you can't surpass or is super famous or anything like that.
No, he could.
He's playing very, very well, 4.8 yards per carry. But Bill's got more touchdowns. He's at much higher yards per attempt. Like, right now, he's higher in the odds because he's carried the ball a little bit more. But I don't worry as much about catching him. I think Jeanty's really tough. I think Igbuka's hard. And then any of the quarterbacks, which is mostly going to be maybe just, I guess, Cam Ward at 1-1, but he's not playing well. And then Jackson Dart. There's nobody else you really have to worry about.
No, not at all.
Dart, who's going to play on national TV tonight, has a chance to take a big step.
No, but those you mentioned national TV. Those showcases, like, you play really well against Chicago. You have a couple other, you know, primetime flex games here and there. That goes a long way towards making those deposits. You're healthy, available, and active, and doing what he's done, you know, here of late for those games. That goes a long way in voters' minds.
What is a yardage total that he would have to get to, in your opinion, to have a legitimate chance to win Rookie of the Year? And I say this knowing that, again, running backs do not win this award in the NFL. In fact, if you look at the history of the winners, year over year over year, it's wide receivers and quarterbacks other than a running back here or there. You got Saquon Barkley in 2018. Todd Gurley, who had an awesome year. Remember him with the Rams,
of course,
in 2015?
Yeah. Badass.
God, he was a quick flash in the pan. People sleep. Eddie Lacy, who got very fat, but early
Relatable.
On,
mm-hmm.
I can relate. I was on the Eddie Lacy program myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But in 2013, Eddie Lacy could do it. He could run. And then Adrian Peterson, 07. So really, we're going all the way back to when Vince Young was the Roy in 2006, when I'm graduating high school. There have been four running backs that have won the award: Peterson, Lacy, Gurley, and Barkley. That's it.
So two things have to happen. One, you probably need to be in that 1,200-yard, double-digit touchdown range, right? Just in terms of rush yards. Add in some receiving yards, yards from scrimmage, et cetera. Would be really, really nice. And then everything else has to crumble around you, right? The quarterbacks don't do anything of note. Igbuka, God forbid, has something happen to him, where sort of the C's part. Because just as you said, it's become a flash fantasy football type award, and it's quarterback and then maybe the occasional receiver. Again, you mentioned it. Not that he wasn't deserving. Jaden Daniels won it last year. Got no problem with that. But Brock Bowers had a historic tight end season, and he didn't sniff it, right? Like, that's a season that would be good for any pass catcher. Talking about Bowers. Wasn't close to winning the award. And again, Jaden Daniels is my Rookie of the Year. I'd vote for him tomorrow if I could. But just what has to happen ahead of you, it's more about that than it is about the production. I think if you get 1,200 yards, double-digit TDs, you're now in the conversation.
You are, but if Jackson Dart has a good finish to the year, he
beats
you.
There you go. That's it. Yeah.
Or if Igbuka goes for 1,400, he beats you. Other guys notwithstanding, I think that's kind of a floor. I think to really have a true legitimate shot, he's probably got to run for 1,400 yards, which having 200 right now, five games in, makes that really, really difficult. Just because he's not getting enough carries. And by the way, there's no reason to believe he will as the year goes on either. That's the other thing about Bill. It's not like He's just going to be now the bell cow every single week moving forward. I don't think that's
They're not going to give him Jonathan Taylor carries.
No, he's not getting 20 a game. And I don't even think he's going to get like 90% of the carries like he did this past week. I still think that's going to be week to week. Chris Rodriguez is banged up and was actually not able to practice today. So maybe this isn't the week. But if you told me that in the next 2 weeks, there's a 10-carry game for Rodriguez or McNichols or something looming and Bills gets half of the touches again, that would not shock me. It's just been what they are doing. I don't necessarily agree with it. I want to give the kid as many touches as possible. But they're also thinking about the long game here and keeping him upright and healthy into the playoffs and making sure if you're playing a week 18 and a week 19 and you're in Tampa and you're in Detroit or wherever in the playoffs, that he can be on the field carrying the ball 15, 16 times. So that's something they got to bake in that I don't have to worry as much about when I sit here screaming about giving him the ball so you can put up some numbers.
Indeed, yeah. They don't have that problem in Vegas for Ashton Jeanty. He's going to get the ball.
Do you guys care about the Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams rivalry as top two picks and the discourse around those quarterbacks? We're going to get into that next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.